Y'all sang that like you meaned it. Cast down but not destroyed.
Hallelujah.
What a great song. What a great song. I was thinking about that as every time I'm here, I think about that text where Jesus is coming into Jerusalem and they say, you need to rebuke these kids for saying Hosanna. And he said, if they don't praise me, these rocks will cry out. And I've thought about all of the sermons and all of the songs that this building has heard through the years. And if the walls of this building could speak of all of the great songs that have been sung and all of the great sermons and messages that have been preached in this place, it would be overwhelming, wouldn't it, to be able to hear and experience that all at once. I just thank God for the opportunity to come out here once again and to worship with y'all. This is the right way to celebrate July the 4th, isn't it? You know, I thank God for that. I praise God for the messages this morning. And our country needs prayer so much. Our country needs prayer so much. What Brother Jimmy was saying to me ahead of time is he said, I'm going to let you start because I know you got a soft voice. And people are going to be kind of full after the meal. And then I know Jody's a little bit louder. So if you put him to sleep, Joseph will wake him up. And if he can't, David certainly will because he's the loudest of all three of you. So anyway, we beg your attention this afternoon. I look forward to the singing school this week, too. I'm so grateful to have Joey and Barbara here. It's been a long time since I've seen them. I was talking to them outside earlier. It's been 12 years since we were at Harmony Hill. And I'm so grateful for the heritage that we have in our singing schools. What a great heritage we have to be able to raise up the next generation to be able to sing these songs.
Yeah.
That came, many of these songs came from a place of pain and despair. And it's because those who are in those dark places like that knew Christ, that they could sing in the midst of the darkness. Would you turn with me to Psalms 42? There's no preacher one time that said, the robin sings the loudest when the thorn is against his breast. David here in Psalms 42 has the thorn against his breast. As the hart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermon and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And so we see David had the thorn against his breast. We see that David here is in the wilderness. David is beginning to wonder why he is having to go through this dark place, why he's having to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, he had killed the giant, hadn't he? Hadn't he been faithful in the things that he had done? He had obeyed Saul when Saul took him from his father's house and brought him there to play the harp for him. Why is he being treated this way? Why is he being chased? Because he's a man of God. Because his heart is perfect toward him. God's name is mentioned 14 times in this psalm. We see that when the heart of the child of God is under affliction, that we cry out to God. We cry out to the one for whom our heart pants. As the heart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. It's almost as if David is sitting out there in the wilderness with his men. They come up to the brook out there. They're getting down and getting something to drink, and they see the hart, the deer, coming to the streams of water, panting and agonizing. He can see the expression in the face of the deer as it comes, starving for water, and bends down and gulps up the living fresh water. And David says, my soul is like that. My heart pants after thee, O God, like this deer is panting after water. My soul thirsts for God, and not just a God, the living God. Amen. The one and only God, the God of all creation, the one who spoke it into existence instantaneously. This is the living God that he thirsted for. This is the God that he had experienced in worship. It was the God that he was experiencing even then, though at a low ebb in his life as he was out here. His tears, he said, had been his meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And as it was with David, brothers and sisters, it will always be with us that there will always be enemies that will mock us and say, where is thy God? Was it the Philistines? Was it some of the ones that were in his own camp that were saying that? They were saying, where is thy God? And we've heard about this God of yours that delivered Israel. We've heard about all of these great stories. But he's not delivering you. Why are you having to go through this? This is what the enemy does to us. We're in the dark places. And if you're in that place here today, and the enemy's coming and he's whispering those things to you, be encouraged. David did not give up. He did not give up. He continued to trust. He continued to believe, even when he was weeping day and night. Other places he says, my bed swims in tears, as his heart was broken over the enemies that were attacking him and saying, where is thy God? And then in the midst of this agony, David says, but I remember these things. What was it David was remembering? He said, I remember going to the house of God and worshiping. I remember the sweet times, the sweet song services, the sweet time of fellowship when the Holy Spirit leaps from breast to breast. He said, I remember those times when there was a multitude that kept the holy day of God and came together. And because of that, David is able to stir himself up and say, why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. He knew this time would pass. As we all go through life, we understand that there are seasons. Just like there are seasons on the earth, fall, spring, winter, summer, there are seasons in life. There's going to be those times of spring. There's going to be those times of summer. And there's going to be those times of fall and winter in our lives. But God is faithful in every one of those seasons. He is the one who has promised to carry us with gray hairs down to the grave. He's the one that said, I will never leave you nor forsake you in those dark times and those dark moments. I know that there are children of God who have gone through such dark times that they even despaired of life. There have been those who've gone through such tragedies that they get to the point where they just don't want to live anymore. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. You can make it through those dark times of life. These dark seasons come so that we will understand the preciousness of the peace that God has given us. One of the things that we can infer from this psalm is that there is ordinarily great peace in the life of the child of God. And when we lose that, there is a hungering and a thirsting after it. And so ordinarily among the children of God, there is a great peace that we enjoy. And sometimes when we take that for granted, the Lord, as a loving Father, will withdraw His face from us for a time so that we might understand how sweet and precious that peace is, so that we do not take that for granted. And so He seasons us through these times of darkness. He seasons us through afflictions. David said, "You have afflicted me in faithfulness." Why? "So that I might learn Thy statutes." How are we, as overfed Americans, prosperous Americans, going to understand how to cast ourselves entirely upon this Christ if we do not have trials to come upon us? We're the greatest nation still, but we're in great danger because of that. Being so prosperous, where we are richer than 95%+ of the world's population, where we have more than many, many in the world, where we don't have to worry about going hungry. How are we going to understand how to cast ourselves on this God? How is He going to wean us away from all of these crutches if not having to go through dark times like this? There's another thing that we can learn from this. Ordinarily, the children of God have great peace, but it's possible to lose that peace and to be cast down. Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down, but not destroyed. Job himself, over there in chapter 3 of Job, said he despaired of life. Jeremiah also despaired of life in Jeremiah chapter 20. Both of them were saying, "Cursed be the one who bore me. Cursed be the one that took my father's news that I had been born." They got to those dark places. Both of these great men of God went through those dark places and came through it. And came through it. And so, when we lose this and find it again, this peace, when we lose it and find it again, it makes it more precious. It makes us more precious to us, so that we would hang on to it more respectfully and holily when we have such great peace. Psalms 119, 165. "Great peace have they which love Thy law, and nothing shall offend them." If we had more loving of the law of God, we'd have less offenses in the church of God. Isaiah 54, 13. "And all Thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of Thy children." Great shall be the peace of Thy children. And of course, when we're talking about peace and God coming in these times when the wind and the billows are sweeping over us into the boat, David indicates that there in that song. He in verse 7, "Deep calleth unto deep, the noise of Thy waterspouts, all Thy waves and Thy billows are gone over me." We can see the disciples in the boat with Christ. He's asleep. The Master's in the boat, and they forgot who's in the boat. The Master was in the boat, and they lost sight of that. They were looking at the wind. They were looking at the waves, and they'd taken their eyes off of Him. And He stands up in one word: peace. Peace. And brothers and sisters, when you are on life's billows and waves and storms, when you're in that valley, it just takes one word from the Master. One word: peace, be still. And your spirit can be stilled. And you can be calmed in the midst of those trials. But you must preach to yourself the way David did. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? David knew he had no reason for it. Hope thou in God. He knew there was no reason. And the third thing that we can learn from this song, one of three things or many things, that the people of God have no reason whatsoever to ever be discouraged. We have no reason whatsoever. Are you discouraged because of great sin in your life? Did not the blood of Christ put it away? Whenever we get discouraged in the midst of trials, we're actually sinning on top of sin. We should not be discouraged because Christ fought the great battle for us. When He said it is finished, He meant it is finished. The great work is a finished work. Yes, we have many skirmishes and battles that we continually have to be in this life. But remember, the great battle has been won. And so we have no reason to ever be discouraged. The Lord upholds all that fall, and He raises up all those that be bowed down. Psalms 145:14. He upholds all that fall, all of His children that fall, and He raises up all those that be bowed down. Immediately my mind goes to the woman that had infirmity 18 years in Luke 13:11. She came to Christ. She would bow down. And what does it tell us about her? Such a picture in all the healings of Jesus of salvation. She could in no wise lift herself up. She couldn't lift herself up at all. There was nothing she could do at all to lift herself up. So it is with us. There's nothing that we can do to lift ourselves up out of these dark places that we go. But Christ did. He healed her. And she could lift herself up then. He lifted her up. And now she could walk aright, praising God and worshiping Him. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? David says there in verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and Hermon and the hill Mizar. He was out in the wilderness. And when we get to these places, it's going to feel like we're out in the desert, that we're out in a barren land, that we have nothing to drink as we hunt, hunger, and thirst after God. And we must remember the Lord will. A great two words, is it not, there in verse 8? Yet the Lord will. The Lord will command His loving kindness in that day. Isn't that a great word, loving kindness? So great in the original, we had to put two words together to even get close to it. Loving kindness. He will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, His song shall be with me. Echoes of mercy. Whispers of love. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. Have you heard those echoes of mercy and whispers of love at night? Have you woken up sometimes and felt like you could hear songs, the angels singing? In those dark times, it seems that those are the times whereby the wound is opened in our soul so that He can pour more of His grace and mercy into our life. And in the night His song shall be with you, and His prayer unto the God of His life. It is okay for us to ask God questions like this in verse 9. He can take it. I will say unto God my rock, why have you forgotten me? It's okay to ask God questions like that. Why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? It was like a sword in his bones as these enemies said, where is thy God? But once again, after David asked those questions, he knows the answer. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Brothers and sisters, it is a long journey. We are going through this land of desert. But there's coming a day we're going to cross over that Jordan River. Yeah, There's coming a day when there's going to be no more sin and sorrow. He's promised to wipe away every tear. In fact, Jesus said He's going to do something wonderful on that day. He said, I'm going to make all things new. I don't even know what that means. But it's wonderful. I know it means there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. I know it means there's going to be new bodies. And I know there's going to be a place where there is no sin. The greatest grief in my life is sinning against the One who gave so much for me. That's my greatest grief. And oh, for that day when I will no longer sin against Him, when there will be no more trials, no more dark places, no more life's billows, no more of that. And so I just want to encourage you. This is the place where we are living now. And we have to continue to fight the good fight of faith. We continue to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Always remembering that text this morning. There is, therefore now, no condemnation. And every time you read that verse, it'll be present tense.
Yeah.
May God bless His Word.